Welcome back, everyone, to Racecast, and officially, finally, after way too long, race week. Las Vegas, I think last year took us all by surprise.
Loved it.
However, have you seen the temperatures out there?
Hot, isn't it?
Fuck no. The complete opposite.
Is it? I haven't, to be fair.
There was a 50-50 guess that you had there, and obviously you got
it wrong. Okay, ask me again.
No. It is looking like it's going to be like, I can't remember exactly what I saw, but it was like 13 degrees, 10 degrees, 10 degrees, 11 degrees.
Snow.
Not snow, not quite. Like we're meant to have here, and it's just pissing it down, raining instead. But it could get hairy. I don't know if you guys remember last year, we had that where it was super, super cold. And like drivers were kind of like, this is like driving on ice. But it looks like it could be the same, if not worse, this year round. But, you know, we gave Las Vegas a real hard time before we went there last year. And the race actually provided, you know, it was a really good weekend.
Well, we say it didn't start off the greatest, did it? It was potholes, damaged Carlos Sainz's car.
That's why I said specifically the race really good.
So, you know, initially we're thinking, okay, exactly what we were saying it was going to be like.
Yeah.
But actually, somehow, qualifying happened. Okay, it looks quite good. Then the race happened. Then it was decent.
So it actually turned out, you know, like we say, a good weekend. So I think we are all open to it. This weekend, again, I think Las Vegas, I wouldn't say it's won people's hearts over, but everyone warmed to it.
It has the potential to be one of the better street circuits.
Yeah, agreed. Obviously, we are Racecast. Check us out on social media, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. TikTok and Instagram is where we're most active, literally. Every single day, if you don't want to listen to the whole podcast, you can just get bite-sized clips of it there. Obviously, like, race weekends, we're more active on Twitter. Also, do give us a 5-star rating wherever you're listening to us, because it does make a huge difference, and the listeners are growing. So, you little race castians, I don't know what you're called, but your community is growing. And, you know, we see that on TikTok, Instagram, so thank you very much for all your support. I've got an interesting fact for you. Right.
Okay. You done research?
A little bit.
Or you scrolling on Twitter and it came up?
I was scrolling on Twitter and it came up.
That
but
makes sense.
It depends what you consider research, because technically
that is research. No? A fair play to you.
So there's one thing that's never been done in F1.
Yeah.
Oh, there's multiple things, but you know, like 8 world titles, or some might say that has been done. But this thing,
we're not bitter.
This thing in particular. Not one single driver has ever cost their team £0 throughout the year for damages, right? Have you seen the tweet?
No, it's funny enough, I was going to add this into this week's, but I forgot about it. So yes, I know.
There is one driver this season who is set to incur no damages in an entire season. Who is it?
If I'm correct, isn't it Pierre Gasly?
It is Pierre Gasly, right? Nothing. The tweet says, not even a single puncture, cracked chassis, or broken wing.
Yeah, but you've got to remember, up until Brazil, that car didn't get fast enough to actually cause any damage.
Hey, you say that. Look at the Saubers.
I know.
Look at the Williams.
I'm only jesting before Alpine fans come at me, okay?
But that is...
It's impressive.
Mate... And I reckon James Vowles is having second thoughts. I bet he wishes he went after Pierre Gasly.
I saw another tweet.
Williams aren't even having a Christmas party this year because they can't afford the sausage rolls.
There was one tweet, I think, to that said, the Las Vegas curse, or the Las Vegas, we're ready for you, or something. There's a picture of one of the corners in Vegas, and
just
it says...
One of the drain...
Gasly, we're ready for you. Yeah. You know, so we just... What would be the chances if he actually causes damage this weekend? That person who tweeted that...
Cursed
him.
But the thing is, Pierre Gasly... I really like Pierre Gasly, can I just say?
Yeah.
Hasn't got a lot of F1 accolades to his name. He's got a race win. Incredible. Does he want to be remembered as the man that went an entire season without picking up a single piece of damage?
I mean, it's not a bad stat. It's not one you'd be massively proud of.
You know, you imagine Max Verstappen, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton speaking to their grandkids. Oh, yeah, title number 3, number 4 if you're Lewis, number 7. Pierre? Ooh. I don't know, how do you tell that story to the grandkids?
Well, kids, you know...
Kids, they're not his kids.
You say grandkids?
Yeah.
Well, they're kids though, aren't they?
Yeah, but you don't say well kids.
Okay. Oh, well, grandkids. You know, what were you going to say?
No, don't say that. That's weird.
Well, you've made this weird.
I don't know. Give them names or something.
Oh, Jemima.
No, because he's French, so chances are they'd have like a French name.
Okay, can we just get on with this? You know, I've got an interesting fact for you. In 2024, I went the whole season.
And that's how I go. But no, seriously, like that is... That is a big achievement, and I think for a team like Alpine that have been struggling, you know, in the last season, shit like that massively helps.
Do you think he'll get a bonus at the end of it?
Oh, he's got to.
Look, we've done an average across the board of the cost of damage, and what we've done, we've decided to give you 20% of that.
Yeah, me.
Take it.
I think they owe it to him. That's a big achievement, especially when his teammate is Esteban Ocon.
Yeah, true. Hang on. Was it this year Ocon went into Gasly at Monaco?
At Monaco?
Yeah. Do you remember before the tunnel, Ocon tried to do a pass?
Oh, yeah.
So there was no damage to Gasly's car?
No damage, apparently.
Which is mad. That's mad. And it's his own teammate who almost tried to take him out.
Yeah, well, you got me thinking now. Is this tweet legit?
We'll go legit. We'll go legit. I've got a little fact for you. So apparently 4 years ago, there was a track that spent $540 million, and it was meant to host its first Grand Prix back in 2020. Obviously, as we know, COVID happened. And since then, it's just lied abandoned. Do you know what track it is?
Can you give me a clue?
It was called Hanoi Circuit.
Well, that's probably in Vietnam then.
There you go. I gave you a clue. You got the answer.
I actually didn't know that.
No, nor did I. I was just doing a bit of research and...
They spent how much on it?
$540 million to build.
Wow. And that must be a lot out there as well. Because you ever speak to someone that's been to Vietnam and they're like, beers were like 60p... You know, I was getting dinner for like a quid. That track must have been mega.
Let me try.
Have you got any pictures of it?
Let me try and get it up, because I hope I haven't been done here by one of these random.
No, is it another? Did you not fact check it? Always fact check.
No, so.
Fucking hell, that looks like a gruesome track.
Look at the straights in that.
That looks. I'm not going to lie, right? For those of you, if this is a clip, we're going to put it up on screen now.
Yeah.
That track looks horrendous, in my opinion.
Yeah. would not be held in 2020, and this is what's been abandoned. I actually think that looks a pretty sick track.
There's a fucking roundabout in the middle.
Yeah, no, it must be. Look, F1 did a whole thing of it, first look of it.
I wonder how it just gets dropped, though. Like, what's...
Well, I actually think that looks a sick track.
But imagine, right? Imagine you're the guy that's like,
yeah,
gone right. Fuck it.
It was legit.
Right, I'll invest $500 million into this track. F1 are like, yeah, brilliant. We'll race it definitely. You build it.
Yeah.
That's it. Life savings gone.
Yeah.
Nah, don't fancy it anymore. I'd be like, what the fuck? What do you mean?
Well. It's a bit, yeah, no, I agree with you on that one.
Someone has spent £540 million to build a racetrack for Formula One, and then somehow they've just gone, nah.
I wonder, is that fair? Yeah. I wonder why it wasn't allowed back onto it.
But if anyone knows, comment down below.
Talking about obviously the 2025 calendar that got released, obviously with the F2 and F3 and the F1 Academy, you know, dates as well. Obviously, we're starting off in Australia on the 14th of March, which are good. We then go to China, Japan, then Bahrain. So Bahrain is fourth this year.
Yeah.
What was it this year? I can't remember. It wasn't the first race, was it?
Bahrain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it the first race?
Yeah.
But it feels a very long season this year.
I think this is because 2025, they are looking to make the calendar more efficient again. That is something that they are continually doing. So why don't you just give us V8 engines? And that sort of balances everything else since we're going to synthetic fuels in 2026. But I'm happy to start Australia, really. I know you're probably not because you don't really rate the track, but
I do
also love Bahrain. Like, there's something about that first race of the season being in the dark under the lights, and you see, like, you know how just like the liveries look different.
Yeah.
But Australia's more authentic.
It's a classic track. Talking about tracks, obviously the Canadian Grand Prix is going to be held in late May next in 2026 instead of early June. Mm-hmm. This is to come in line with the attempts to reduce carbon emissions. So the move allows the Montreal event to run straight after the Miami Grand Prix, which avoids freight being sent back and forth across the Atlantic. So,
but I bet we still go to Texas and then South America and then back up to Las Vegas.
I haven't seen that. I don't know.
But have we not got the whole calendar?
Montreal will be held on the third or fourth weekend of May each year. Right, let me...
That was not the question I asked.
No, well, I'm just reading F1 2026 calendar. So...
Because the thing is like, they do virtue signal a lot in the sport. And it's like, if you really cared about cutting emissions, you would probably just actually race in an order that really made sense.
No, all I've got is a 2025 calendar.
Yeah, is that not what we were talking about? Or were you saying from
2026? 2026, it will be, yeah. From early, yeah, 2026.
Oh, that should change a lot then.
Yeah.
One race.
Well, you know.
Well done to F1 for sorting that out.
But you look at this, Canada is this year, well, 2025 is round 10. So after Miami, you've got... Imola, Monaco, Spain, and then Canada. So it's actually taken out quite a bit.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it doesn't make sense, but like, if they're just doing that for one race and they're not... Like, it doesn't make that much of an impact, is what I'm saying, if they don't look at the whole calendar.
No, I agree. I'm looking forward to the F2 races next year. So there's 14 races next year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, their first one will start off in Australia. Then there's a bit of a gap. They will then go to Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Imola, Monaco, Spain, Austria, Silverstone, Belgium, Hungary, Monza, Baku, Qatar, and Abu Dhabi. I mean...
Wait, what? Oh, this is fucking F2.
This is F2, yeah.
But wait, does that mean that Baku is later in the F1 season?
Baku is round 17, sorry. So that's September again. So that's roughly the same as what it was this year.
Was it? Baku wasn't September, surely. Maybe it was.
No, it was. I'm pretty sure it was. Let me get it open.
To be fair, it was after the summer break, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I know, Baku, yeah, 13th to the 15th of September, round 17.
Fair enough.
So it was the same.
Oh, we have so many races now.
Yeah. So... Which is good. And so, yeah, we did start off, obviously, in Bahrain, Saudi Arabia. So Saudi's even dropped quite a bit as well. Saudi is down to round five instead of round two. China's obviously round two.
Yeah, but then obviously you go back to 2021 and Saudi Arabia was like the second to last.
Yeah. So it's all over the place. And obviously next year we do finish off in the same Vegas, Qatar, Abu Dhabi. Brazil, Vegas, Qatar, Abu Dhabi. So not much changes from that. So realistically, there's not many changes. It's only probably the beginning of the season that is there's bigger changes. I'm really looking forward to F2 this year. Next year. Yeah. I think when you look at F2 this year, I've really got into it. And there's a lot of good drivers which we've seen make that jump into F1.
Yeah, we've had a lot of rookies step up this year.
Yeah.
Or like four next year.
And obviously we know Bortoleto, he's on course to win the F2 championship this year. He's already signed for Sauber. I'm really excited to see what he can do. But I just feel like F2 now are just churning out these good drivers. I think because it's more evident, we're seeing more of them now. Their exposure's much higher than probably it's ever been before. So I'm excited.
I mean, the thing is, if you genuinely get into it as well, like your Saturdays and Sundays can be, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, can be absolutely filled with just watching racing.
Yeah.
And it is good. Like, I think the F2 races are so good because normally the pack is always so tightly bunched. It's not like F1 where you have these big gaps. Like, it is really close and you have young, audacious drivers going for, like, crazy moves.
Yeah.
I think it's just sick, and it's like the perfect setup for the weekend of F1.
Looking at this calendar, it's quite interesting though, because so when I went to Belgium this year, mm-hmm. what I liked about it is you had the F2, you had the F3, you had the Porsche Super Cup,
yeah.
whatever it was, and obviously F1. So you had a lot of action over the weekend.
Yeah.
There's a lot of races. I feel like if I didn't have that, it'd been quite a boring weekend.
Oh, 100%.
But when you look at this calendar, so for example, COTA, Mexico, Brazil, they have no F2, no F3, no F1 Academy. Mm. They don't have anything. It's literally just the F1 weekend. Mm. As a fan, I'd be like, I mean, I'm sure there's other stuff going on around that time, but it'd be quite a slow weekend.
Yeah, and I think I like when I went to Silverstone the other year. Yeah, having all those races on before kind of makes the day.
Yeah.
Like, people do turn out to watch them and stuff. And yeah, I mean, luckily I was like in hospitality, so I did have other things to do.
Yeah.
But if I didn't have the races to watch, I probably would have just sat in there eating food all day.
Yeah. And I mean, if you were in, like where I was in, you know, you could walk around the track and all that stuff. But to try and get a good seat, you literally had to get there early. So yeah. Luckily, when I got there on a Sunday, F3 started...
Yeah, what, like 2 a.m. or something?
No, it was like 6 a.m. But when I got there on a Sunday, then I knew that in a couple of hours' time, F3 will start, so I could see that race.
Yeah, at least you get to sit there and enjoy yeah. the whole day of watching things.
The issue is when you get there that early and you didn't have anything, you'd literally just be sitting there waiting until like the afternoon for the race. And it would be like...
Yeah, but do you reckon then people turn up later?
I don't
need to turn up so early?
I don't think so. I think people will generally go there early to get a good seat.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's weird. And obviously, Spa again has F2 and F3, and that's fine. F1 Academy, again, that's been a real hit this year. So it'd be interesting to see how it continues to grow, which would be great. But no, I'm looking forward to next year. 24 races again. I think it'd be good. It'd be good. Right, should we get on to some other news instead of talking about tracks?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Right. So, William have announced that a new signing, Carlos Sainz. Williams.
I think you just said William.
Yeah, well, no, but William has announced that Williams will be...
Oh, yeah. Like William, who owns the team.
Yeah, yeah. Get with the program. Williams have announced a new signing... Okay, Williams have announced that new signing Carlos Sainz will make his maiden on-track appearance for the team at the Abu Dhabi end-of-season test next month.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's good for him.
I've seen quite a lot of controversy around this because, obviously, a certain Sir Lewis Hamilton will not be making his Ferrari debut at the Abu Dhabi test. He's got other commitments with Mercedes. Now, I've seen a lot of hate online towards the Lewis one because he's going to like Malaysia for Petronas and stuff like that. But a lot of it seems to me like it's actually saying goodbyes.
Yeah. From what I'm understanding, it's more of a thank you for all you've done. It's a goodbye tour as such,
yeah.
rather than it being like, you know, you have to do it because in theory, I mean, I suppose they're trying to milk as much as they can from Lewis Hamilton before he leaves,
which
I also understand. But what we have to understand is he's still under contract with Mercedes. So realistically, they can do whatever they want. It's no different from any other job, you know, because Williams have announced that Carlos Sainz can do that. That's obviously Ferrari just being nice and by going, yeah, go, you know, that's fine. That's not a problem. But Mercedes don't have to go. No, you go. No, we want to get as much out of you as we can, and that's what they're doing.
And I've seen, you know, we gave Toto Wolff and Mercedes a hard time last week on this podcast.
But you say hard time.
It was a little bit. From this stuff about Lewis not being able to race or not being able to do the test in Abu Dhabi, I feel like a lot of hate online has been going towards them. But I think we also need to look at the flip side of, well, we don't know if Lewis might have a say in this also, where he spent 11 years at this team, won 8 constructors, won 6 world championships. I'm sure he's got a huge amount of gratitude for everyone. He probably wants to go around and sort of share his thanks. And I know what you're going to say. Well, why don't Ferrari let him race and then he can go and do it? Well, why don't Mercedes let him test in the Ferrari and then he can go do it? Like Matt says, he is under contract with Mercedes and they do have the right to commit Lewis to certain things during that contracted period.
I don't really see a massive issue with it. I think it's good for Lewis. I think it's good that he can go off and say thank you to the whole team. He's been there for a ridiculous amount of years. And I'm sure, like you said, he does want to go and actually show his gratitude for what they've achieved as a team.
Yeah.
You know, going off and doing this tour and getting him prepared for next year isn't going to make a massive difference. Doing one test,
it's not going to make a massive difference. Especially because this is the old car.
Yeah.
Do you know, he's not going to be racing in this Ferrari.
No. So for me, when you look at this for Carlos Sainz, it's great. It means he can get used to the team could get used to him earlier.
And is this not happening with like most of the drivers? Like, is Ocon not going to be doing it for Haas?
I haven't heard. I don't know. I honestly don't know. All I know is that actually they've agreed that Carlos Sainz can make his, you know, he can test with Williams.
Because all I'm thinking is like, why wouldn't Haas, you know, want Behrman and Ocon doing it? Why would Alpine want Ocon in the car when they can have Doohan doing it? Do you know what I mean?
I'm sure they might do that. But again, I don't know what they're... All I know is actually from what was announced this week was that Carlos Sainz will be driving for Williams. So I don't know. That's not really an answer you were looking for, is it?
Well, it just doesn't really answer my question.
It didn't, but I didn't think I was going to answer your question.
I mean, if you don't have the answer, that's fine.
I just don't have the answer, right?
Yeah.
Don't have the answer. Give me a break. But no, that's good news for Carlos Sainz. Happy with that. But I agree, you know, I know some people have said, why can't Hamilton go in test early? But like we've said, Mercedes do have him in a contract. He is, you know, he is there until the end of the year. Is it end of the year or January time? I can't remember when the contract ends.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. But, you know, it is silly to assume that a team is just going to let someone off the hook like that. And we said it. Okay, Mercedes, I'm sure, have an unbelievable amount of respect for Lewis Hamilton. And also, I'm sure the gratitude is both ways. But at the end of the day, he's moving to one of their rivals next season. They're in no position where they need to make it an easy transition for him. And I would argue there's no reason they should either. At the end of the day, it's a sport. Right, at the highest level, it's the pinnacle of motorsport. Why are they going to make the transition easy for Lewis? They're not going to.
No.
And we said this about, well, maybe that's why they're trying to ruin his confidence in the car. I completely get it. It's dark arts tactics, right? So you can't expect Mercedes to give anything to Lewis Hamilton at this point. They've paid him a shitload of money over the years. They've provided him with a car that is capable of winning championships. And granted, it needed the right man in the seat, and he was the right man. But Mercedes don't owe Lewis any more than what Lewis owes Mercedes, is my point.
No, I agree. Do you want to quickly check on that bad boy? Obviously, if you don't know, if you're watching this when we do clips, last week we started filming and then the camera turned off. So when I was doing clips, it was just an hour and 17 minutes of Luke.
Which I bet you wish it had cut off this week, since you've damaged your beard. I'm not sure what's happened.
All right, let's move on, shall we?
Okay.
So
anyone notice that?
Yeah, thank you very much. So as we know, there's 3 races left for Lewis Hamilton at Mercedes. And Andrew Shovlin has come out and said, you know, unveiling their plans for the end of the season. He said, the big focus in these remaining races is for us to learn what we can. we are in a position in the championship where we cannot challenge in front of us. It's very unlikely we are going to see any challenge from behind. Our focus has very much shifted to learning what we need to this year to apply to next year in order to get on top of those issues. So what I gather from that is, please, Lewis Hamilton fans, don't expect anything big, because I am pretty much guaranteeing this car, which Lewis Hamilton will be going out, will not be a good setup. It'll be very much trial and error. And they'll be doing a lot of testing on Lewis's car to try and get answers for next year.
But if you were Lewis, right, if they've, you know, they're running a certain setup on your car, it's awful, right? It's the worst thing you've ever driven. Would you not be cutting about the track just like, guys, you fucking nailed it. This, keep this. Next season, this every single week. That's exactly what I'd be saying. Long-term game, right? He's not there next season. Fuck it. Leave him with a shit car. I'd be giving the worst feedback in the world. Why wouldn't you?
Lewis, we're 3 seconds off. Yeah, but no, honestly, it's really good.
Yeah, you don't understand, boys. Like, I'm the driver.
Yeah.
Right? It feels amazing.
3 seconds next year, when you're looking at this, that's actually pole position.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know.
I'd be giving them the worst feedback ever. You know, I'd be going around the track and I'd be like, have we ever considered going around on 3 wheels instead of 4?
But may I just say, I completely understand why Mercedes are doing it. You know, they've got no, as Andrew Shoveland said, they've got nothing to challenge in front. There's no challenge from behind. Get as much data as you can to try and better yourself for next year. So I completely get it. And that will, we're not expecting Lewis to do anything big for the remaining 3 races. So yeah, that didn't really come as a surprise to me, but do let me know what your thoughts are on that.
And I do think at this point, like, can we not just drop the animosity between Mercedes and Lewis, right? Lewis fans, we know the deal, right? We're off to Ferrari next year anyway. Let's just enjoy it. We've had an unbelievable time at Mercedes, right?
Yeah.
The last 3 years has been a little bit difficult, but we got Silverstone this year. We had some interesting moments last year, which gave us hope. I'm talking like COTA, for example. But we had a very, very good time. And look, Lewis has made the change now. Let's just enjoy the final moments at Mercedes as best we can, knowing it's going to be tough, but we can reminisce.
Agreed. Our mate Sergio Perez has...
he loves us, by the way.
...has said he turned down offers from 2 teams to continue racing for Red Bull next year. So he was asked...
But what category were they in? F3 teams?
So he said, I had an opportunity... two opportunities to change teams. When I looked at it, I thought, I really love the challenge I have at Red Bull. It's a massive challenge being Max's teammate. It's a challenge that basically trains you for all of it. So I said, I want to spend my last part of my career at the top, at the very top, where the pressure is full on.
Well, what's he training for? Racing in a Sauber? Because that's how he's performing.
Well, and also the bit I liked about it was when he said, it's a massive challenge becoming being Max's teammate. It was always a challenge. There was no challenge.
Yeah, it is. Max is the least of his worries. Do you know what I mean? Like, they are never racing each other.
No.
I mean, Perez needs to worry about, I don't know, the Alpines, the Aston Martins. That's who I'd be thinking of if I was him. Look, I get it, right? He can stay there, milk his contract. He gets paid for as long as whatever. But obviously, he's going to come out and say this stuff, right? I'm not disputing the fact that he shouldn't be saying like, oh yeah, you know, I'm here to stay. It's Red Bull that I think, what the hell is going on? And at this point, the 2 teams that have allegedly offered him a seat, what's that all about?
They've surely got to be teams like Haas. Or
if you're Haas, are you taking Perez over Hülkenberg?
No.
Exactly. No, you know the other seat over Hülkenberg. Over Ocon, I should say. Because Ocon's there next season.
Do that bit again.
If you're Haas, are you taking Sergio Perez over Ocon next season?
No. Would
you take him over Hülkenberg this season?
No.
And we know that the other seat is vacant next season. Well, I say vacant, but as in like it's held by Ollie Bearman. So would you then take Perez over Ollie Bearman, knowing that perhaps the plan is actually one experienced driver, one rookie to sort of fill shoes.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing with Sergio Perez, and, you know, he gets a hard time. He does have the experience, and we got to remember.
Yeah, but this is, we've never come on here and said Sergio Perez has been a terrible F1 driver his whole career. Because
no.
He hasn't been. He's been a very, very solid and consistent Formula One driver. And in 2021, he was essential to Max winning that title. Don't get me wrong, Max did everything he needed to. But Perez really helped him out. And Abu Dhabi happened because Perez slowed Lewis down.
Yep.
So he didn't have the gap to box when that safety car came out, right? But we have to look at the facts. And realistically, that is from... We saw glimpses of it in 2022. You know, again, he was unable to sort of consistently be up there with Max, and it was actually Max fighting Charles for that first half of the season. 2023, we saw how big the gap was to Max, and it was unbelievable. He almost lost P2 to Lewis in that Mercedes, and we saw how dominant that Red Bull was. This season has just been an unbelievably big disaster. So... people might think, oh, you're like, you clearly just dislike Sergio Perez. I literally have no personal feelings towards him whatsoever. Objectively, his driving this season has been nowhere near the standard that it needs to be to race at the top of the sport. And at this point, I think if you're a team that's lower down, you're going to look at that and think, realistically, we could probably do better. Like, I would take Bottas over Perez.
Why?
Because look at what Bottas did at Mercedes. And you can say, oh yeah, but look at his Sauber time. He said himself, Bottas, that he's sure his time at Sauber has damaged his reputation. But at least you can look at that and be like, well, he has had an awful car.
Okay, counter-argument.
But he has consistently finished ahead of his teammate.
Counter-argument.
Yep.
21 season.
Yeah.
Bottas, who would you say was a better teammate?
Perez, 100%.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. That Bottas' last season wasn't as strong as Perez.
Perez's drop-off is insane.
Yeah.
And Perez has had the fastest car for the last 3 years. Okay, this year it's been contentious for a lot of it.
That I agree.
Certainly started off the season the fastest car. Last season, it was not even a competition.
No.
So I don't know who's offering him a seat. Fair play, if Perez keeps his Red Bull seat... I mean, someone commented on one of our TikToks the other day, just like, how is this even still a story? Right. Maybe it's not, but it still amazes me every single day. And I still think I'd be shocked at this point if he's actually in that seat next season.
Right, a little bit of a quiz.
Yep.
So, average starting positions for 2024 currently. Obviously, we know we have 3 races left. So, I'm going to give you a number to start off with, and you just need to guess the name of where they are.
Okay.
So... the average starting position of 3.4.
Lando.
Lando. 3.5.
Max.
4.9.
Charles.
Just to clarify, this is the average starting positions for qualifying, basically. Piastri.
Well, for the race.
Fuck, I've just given it away. Piastri, 5.5.
I was going to say Piastri.
Yeah, 6.
Ooh. Now, do I go Sainz or George? Sainz.
Sainz. 6.1.
George.
8.6.
It's got to be Lewis.
Lewis. 9.1.
Shit. the fact I'm, like, not even considering Perez... But then maybe Perez's has been balanced out. Perez.
But that shows, even though how bad that Mercedes has been at some point this year, but for quite a bit this year, and how good that Red Bull was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
9.1.
It also goes to show Lewis's inconsistencies in qualifying.
Oh, 100%.
Have continued this season.
3 more. So 9.2.
Maybe Alonso.
Alonso. 11.1.
Oh, this is getting really difficult now.
Yeah, I mean...
Alex Albon.
No, Tsunoda. And 12.
Alex Albon.
Hülkenberg.
Oh, nice. I was thinking the Haas boys.
So he's done, you know, they have done well. So quite interesting to see that. Right, what other news? We have news. We have news here. So going back to Carlos Sainz, he's admitted that his ego was hurt when he became clear he was not secured a seat at one of the other F1 top teams. He said during the silly season, he said, "I've definitely come to peace, and I'm a true believer that if I'm not going there, it's because it just doesn't. Let me restart this, okay? I feel like I'm losing my voice. So Carlos Sainz has admitted that his ego was hurt when it became clear he would not secure a seat with another F1's current front-running team. He said, "I've definitely come to peace, and I'm a true believer that if I'm not going there, it is because life just doesn't want me to be there. There's something else coming after that, and we will actually turn out to be good." Obviously, as we know, he's going to Williams. We touched on this last week, didn't we, that obviously we understand why Mercedes didn't take him, because it just looks like a hand-me-down.
I'd also just like to say life doesn't work like that. Doesn't necessarily mean something good is coming. Could just get worse.
There you go. Motivational quote from Luke. But I'm genuinely excited to see what he can do in that Williams.
I think it'll be... Right, so firstly, his ego should not be hurt. No. Because he's a good enough driver to race for any of those top teams. Yeah. Right? I'll say that, number one. Number two, I think it's going to be really interesting for us as fans to see a top driver race for a team that is sort of middle end of the pack.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time we had that.
No.
So I think I'm actually looking forward to it. And racing for a team like Williams, where they are starting to push it. The car is getting better. They're not the Williams that maybe people remember from 2020 or 2019, 2020, 2021. Mm-hmm. They are a team now that is starting to creep forward. They've got new management in place. You can see that they are pushing it with the drivers that they're signing. You know, Alex Albon, Carlos Sainz coming in. We know that they're investing heavily into infrastructure where they can, because funds are limited. I think this team is going to push forward. Do I think Williams will be a top team again? Not anytime soon. But I do think if Carlos Sainz performs well there, one of the top teams will come shopping for him at some point.
No, I agree.
It is recording.
Okay.
Do you want me to prove it?
So, winning an F1 world title with Ferrari would make Lewis Hamilton forever unbeatable, according to Jacques Villeneuve. He said, "Winning again with Mercedes would not really serve any purpose, but winning with Ferrari, there's nothing bigger in the world after everything he has achieved." I can't argue with that, because I think, you know, you won with McLaren, you won with Mercedes. You go and do it. You bring back a title to Tifosi after years. You know, the last one was Kimi Raikkonen back in, what, 2007? Mm-hmm. Bringing them back a world title, your legacy is there. He already has his legacy, but it's already there.
It's his eighth world title. Mm-hmm. He would have broken Michael Schumacher's record and his own record. You know, it would be incredible. And I think there's got to be F1 fans out there who aren't Lewis fans that want to see that. I feel like there's just got to be. Mm. I don't know whether that's just me like being like blinded by like.
I'm saying it now. It is going to happen.
I'm not so confident that it's going to happen. If he's got the car, it will happen. My only worry is whether he's got the car. But if Ferrari come out next season with the car, there's every chance that Lewis can win it. And if he does, I was going to say we'll retire, but we won't. We'll carry on. He might retire.
I'm so excited. I'm honestly buzzing. It's interesting from one of the TikToks we posted last week about, you know, Toto Wolff and saying, well, what did we say, that Lewis Hamilton was bigger than Mercedes or whatever. Yeah. It's incredible to see how many comments of the people are going, yeah, no, I'm a Ferrari fan next year. And it kind of goes back to our point of going, there is a lot of fans who follow Lewis Hamilton who are Mercedes fans at the moment who will jump ship and go and follow Lewis to Ferrari. I saw some comments going, oh, well, that's ridiculous. You should be, you know, it's like a football club. You should be supporting the team.
It's just not like a football club at all.
No. It's one sport where actually I think following a driver, well, and you know, one other comment, well, hang on, if you're a Lewis fan, what are you going to do when he retires?
Yeah, I don't know.
No. I mean, we've discussed that.
I have no idea.
That's the point. And let us know at home, when Lewis Hamilton retires, who are you going to follow? I mean, obviously, we know we've got other drivers coming through like Ollie Bearman. And, you know, we've discussed on this, you're a Charles Leclerc fan. I like Alex Albon. I'm also a Carlos Sainz fan. But yeah, when Lewis Hamilton retires, it is going to be an interesting one because I don't think I'm going to follow George or Lando or, you know.
Might be a Max fan.
Well, could you imagine?
A train? But I really don't know, because just going back to that football comment that someone said of like, well, how can you just switch teams? It's like football. It's really not like football. But if you want to make the football comparison, for me, Lewis Hamilton is Liverpool. I can't just support another team. So I don't know how I'm going to sit down and watch F1 and absolutely root like relentlessly for someone if it's not Lewis Hamilton driving the car. It's going to be... I actually just don't know. Like, I think it's one of those things where, like, you don't necessarily pick. Like, I don't think... I never specifically said, right, I'm going to support Lewis Hamilton. It was kind of everything that... You gravitate towards certain drivers in different sports. You gravitate towards certain teams for different reasons. You might have, like, personal connections to, like, an area or something. Obviously, you're never going to have that with a driver. So you've got to just gravitate towards them because you like them. Do you know what I mean? And that... you still can't force the passion. You know, I'm not saying that someone is going to be able to replace Lewis Hamilton for me in the future. I'll still love the sport because, you know, even if Lewis crashes out or whatever, like, I still watch the races. I really enjoy them. But yeah, it'll be... I really don't know what I'm going to do when Lewis retires because I think, am I going to sit there and shout at the screen? I just don't know. But hopefully I gravitate towards someone.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Do let us know when Lewis retires, who you following. So what other news do we have? So we're back to Mercedes. There's a lot of, obviously over the last couple of weeks, and some people might be saying there's a lot of clips about Mercedes, Toto Wolff, Lewis Hamilton, but there's a lot of news at the moment. So Mercedes boss Toto Wolff has opened up on his surprise, up on the surprise role Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola played in Lewis Hamilton leaving the Formula One team. You heard about this?
I actually haven't heard about this.
So ahead of the upcoming switch, Mercedes chief Wolff has revealed a conversation with three-time Champions League winner Guardiola helped him deal with Hamilton's decision. He said, I had a chat with Pep Guardiola a long time ago and he's a friend. I said, what do you do if this or that a player leaves? And he said, what do you mean? He said, I think if someone decides to go, you need to let them go. So that's obviously helped Toto Wolff get a bit of clarity.
And that has always been Pep's thing as well. If you're a football fan, you'll know that, like, it could be anyone. If they want to leave the club, he lets them go.
Yeah.
He doesn't hold them.
So, you know, I like that with... I know we're talking about football now, but I like the fact that Pep Guardiola is like that anyway. He's not going to stand in the way of people. You saw that with Sergio Aguero when he wanted to leave. He was like, you know, we want him to stay, but
we've seen it with a lot of players.
Yeah. But, you know, it is relevant to F1. Obviously, Toto Wolff is losing his star driver. So dealing with that, and we go back to what we said last week. Losing Lewis Hamilton is massive for Mercedes. Mm-hmm. It's such a big deal. And some people go, oh, no, they will be fine. And they will be fine. But there's so much that comes with Lewis Hamilton that they are going to be losing. Sponsorships, fan base, you know, just the whole persona that comes with Lewis Hamilton. And
that's where I do think it's different to football. You know, in football, the club is always bigger than the players, because we've established they're very different. You support a team, you support a club. You don't support players, you know, unless you're American or something. I'm sure that happens. F1, we've established you do support drivers. I know also you people support teams, and that's fine. Like, but I think you have that mix where, like, some support a team, some support a driver. In this case, Lewis Hamilton, has the most amount of fans of anyone, any F1 driver, right? Those fans will be moving over to Mercedes, moving over to Ferrari. And that's where it's different to football, right? Yeah. Because that is going to lose them revenue. It is going to lose them sponsorship. You don't get that in football. You know, if Erling Haaland wants to leave Man City, Pep Guardiola can say, see you later, mate. Like, you know, it's not going to affect the club at all. They can sign someone else, do whatever. It's not going to harm their revenue. It will affect Mercedes' revenue, and I think that's where you need to look at it, like, a bit more holistically.
It's a business, isn't it?
Exactly.
And I think...
To them, it's kind of like losing a big client.
Yeah, 100%. But no, I like that analogy. And I think the interesting point about it is actually, I don't think Toto Wolff had a say whether Lewis Hamilton was going to go or not. I think he had made his mind and he was going to go. So I think Pep Guardiola was just trying to help, you know, Toto Wolff just get over it. Which, as we know, he's not over it.
He's not. I've actually got something for you.
Okay.
So I was thinking the other day, we've never done something like this.
Okay, interesting.
I want you to blind rank 10 drivers for me.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a driver at a time.
Yeah.
And you have to put them 1 to 10.
Okay.
So what you might want to do is just pull up notes so you know what number you said.
Okay.
Okay. Number one, Sebastian Vettel. And I can give you some stats about them if you want.
No, okay.
I'm sure you know all about this guy.
I do.
He's up and coming, young guy.
Three.
Number three.
Yep.
Just remember, like, I'm not saying that, you know, Michael Schumacher might not be in this.
Oh, okay. So they're not.
These are 10 random drivers who have raced in the sport
okay.
from between 2002 and today.
Okay.
Oh, no, from 2000 to today.
Okay, number two.
Sebastian Vettel, number two.
Yeah.
Pastor Maldonado. Raced from 2011 to 2015. Picked up one race win.
Eight? Yeah.
Harsh. Nico Rosberg.
Three.
Mark Webber.
Five.
Heikki Kovalainen.
Classic. Number 10.
10?
No, I'm going to go 9. Give him up a space, yeah.
So you think he's worse than Maldonado?
Where'd I put Maldonado? Oh, no. Oh, shit. Yeah, 7. 7, sorry. I didn't realise I put Maldonado. Can I change?
No.
Okay, sure.
That completely defeats your end of the game.
So
you ranked Kovalainen below Maldonado.
Kovalainen, P7.
Takuma Sato.
9.
How many times have you said 9?
No, that's the first time.
Romain Grosjean.
I mean, for what he went through, and I mean, this is a man who walks through fire, so I'm going to go...
Doesn't make him a better racing driver.
I'm going to go... I don't know what else is on here.
But you've written the numbers down.
2, 8, 3, 5. Yeah. I'm going to go... Oh, Romain Grosjean, 10. He crashed into everyone, basically.
Worse than Takuma Sato.
No, I've already put them in. So,
who, by the way, raced 92 races and has one podium. Romain Grosjean, 179 races, 10 podiums.
No, and I get that, but I can't change now.
No, you can't.
And I've already got 8, 9, 10. 7, 8, 9, 10. So I can't put... Yeah.
And it gets worse, buddy.
Oh. And we're going to have Latifi as number one.
Charles Leclerc.
Oh. I'm worried that there's not going to be... I see, I can't put him one because Vettel would be ahead of him. Oh, he's going to have to go number four because I'm hoping there's someone better here.
Marcus Ericsson.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
97 races, no wins, no podiums, no pole positions, and of course, no championships.
Well, the issue is I can't change anything, so he's going to have to go number six.
Oh, that's a high ranking.
Well, because there's no other ranking I can put. So the only one, whoever you say next, is P1.
The legendary Nick Heidfeld.
Oh, P1, baby, P1. That's it.
So let us know if you agree with those rankings.
On. No, shit.
That should be.
1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Nick Heidfeld, you're number one.
I like that. I like that. That's a good game. Good game.
I thought it was quite fun.
So, other news. Fred Vasseur has revealed that Lewis Hamilton is likely to make his maiden Ferrari on-track appearance in one of the squad's previous F1 cars when he completes his move over the winter break. So, as we know, because you can't train, you can't test the current ones, you can only test in the car that is at least 2 years old. So the likelihood is they're going to go back to the beginning of 2022 spec.
That's probably the best car that Lewis will have driven in 3 years. It will be. I mean, that car was good.
Fred Vasseur was asked about, you know, do you think it would take a lot of time for Lewis Hamilton to gel in? He said, I'm not sure that he needs tons of hours to acclimatise, which...
Well, I'm not... I mean, he knows how to drive an F1 car.
He's experienced enough to be quick on the first day, or at least very soon. We'll have one or two test days, plus a test day in Bahrain, and that will be enough.
Yeah.
No, he has high faith in him, doesn't he? Which is good.
I mean, rightly so.
No. What I'm saying is good. You know, Nick Heidfeld needed a bit of time, wouldn't he?
He's your number one, wasn't he?
He was my number one.
You were a big Heidfeld fan, I remember.
I like Heidfeld. We could do that again. I'll do that for you next week.
Yeah. I'll probably think a little bit more about this. But I knew I would catch you out by not having Max, Lewis, Michael.
Yeah, no, it was good.
So I started off with Seb, who should have been number one.
He should have. But then in my mind, I was thinking there might be Michael or there might be Lewis in there.
And this is
You might even put Senna.
This is the beauty of the game, right? Oh, I did keep it specifically 2000 onwards. Oh,
okay. You did say that, yeah. Sorry. So let's talk a bit of Las Vegas, shall we? Race weekend, buzzing for this. So, as we know, Max Verstappen could be crowned four-time world champion this weekend.
Yeah, give us the scenarios.
So, with a maximum of 60 points remaining in the Drivers' Championship, after Las Vegas, 34 in Qatar and 26 in Abu Dhabi, Verstappen's tally of 8 victories this season...
A maximum of 60?
Yeah.
Available?
After Las Vegas.
Ah, got you.
So all Verstappen needs to do is leave the United States without losing 2 points from Lando Norris.
Yeah, very achievable. But I actually don't think he's going to win the championship this weekend. Max is going to win the championship. I don't think it's going to be this weekend.
Oh, see, I'm pretty sure he just needs to be within 2 points.
No, I know what will happen now. Now, because kind of the pressure's off Lando, I bet he starts winning.
Potentially.
Do you know what I mean? He gives me those sort of vibes where it's like, when the pressure's on, oh, he crumbles, he can't do it. But actually, he has got the capabilities to do it, just not under pressure. Mm. So yeah. I reckon now, we're going to see Lando excel. That's my prediction. No. I think we could even see Lando win the next 3 races.
Yeah, potentially. I can't see it happening, but yeah, potentially.
But I just reckon that's the sort of vibes you get from him, don't you? Like, think, all this, starting from pole position, he loses positions. He really needed the result in Brazil, bottles it completely. Mm. But it's like, ordinarily, you actually see Lando drive very, very well. Mm. Like, he's not a driver that's notorious for making mistakes.
No.
Averagely, when he's under pressure, he is notorious for making mistakes. You know, you can go back to 2021 at Sochi where he was under pressure.
Yeah.
He made the mistake. It cost him the race win. But I think we've seen a lot of times where Lando hasn't really been under pressure. He wasn't necessarily the title contender, and he's actually like really executed some clinical wins. And that's why I think Lando Norris could go on and win the next three races, but Max Verstappen has the championship firmly in his grip. That's not going anywhere.
No, I think I'd be very... I understand. I agree with you, and to a certain extent, there's less pressure now on Lando, but I still think that Max will do it this weekend.
You think he'll do it this weekend?
I really do. Let's take a quick look at... Oh, no, actually, I've got a question for you. So, Max Verstappen is going to win his fourth World Championship this year.
Yes.
That's facts.
Fourth in a row.
Yep.
Like Sebastian Vettel.
Would you say this is his most... one of his best titles out of the four?
Well, I would say 2021 is the best. I just think it's a shame that it's got that... It's a shame that it's got Abu Dhabi in the mix, because I think even as a Max fan, you can look at that and be like, look, what happened in that race was fucked up and it shouldn't have happened. Lewis absolutely dominated that race. Lewis's turnaround mid-season, or not mid-season, but like the last sort of 5-6 races... It's... was incredible, and Lewis earned that title, right? But Max did also earn that title, that, and that's one thing that I hate when people are like, oh, Max didn't deserve it, like Lewis got robbed in Abu Dhabi. Max absolutely deserved the title in 2021.
Either one of those deserved the title.
It was just the manner in which Abu Dhabi happened, I think, left like a horrendous taste in everyone's mouth. And granted, you would celebrate it as a Max fan. If it happened the other way around, I would celebrate it as a Lewis fan. But I think now, moving on, we can look at that and be like, that was a really fucked up situation. It's a shame that such a great season ended like that, because I don't care what you think. If you're a Max fan, it doesn't tarnish it for you, fair enough. But I think for a lot of other fans, it does. But that doesn't take away the fact that Max was an unbelievably warranted and deserving champion that year, right? 2022 and 2023, yeah, you know, Max had a bit of a challenge early 2022 with Charles, but he was very clinical. I think he went on to win it very comfortably in the end. 2023, I do think was incredible from Max.
100%.
Because he was relentlessly... He was relentlessly relentless. Do you know what I mean?
He was in a league of his own.
Yeah, there was...
No one came close.
There was no stopping him. And I don't think anyone would have won that title next to him in that car.
No.
So we have to give him credit for that. I think this has been a pretty impressive title, to be honest. But I don't think anything is going to come close to 2021, because that was a true battle. And both Lewis and Max stayed in that fight to the very, very end, and that must have absolutely taken its toll on the pair of them.
100%. Do let us know, what is Max Verstappen's...
If,
no.
If you had to rank them,
yeah.
If you had to rank his best titles, you know, from 1 to 4, what are you going?
I agree with you. You know, the 2021 season... The grit and desire and the skill he showed throughout that season was phenomenal. I'd probably put that P1, followed by... I mean, it's difficult. You could argue that last year was just phenomenal because he was in a league of his own. However, he didn't have any challenges, and sometimes he was, you know, that car was a rocket ship. I'd say this year was probably P2, simply because, you know, this car completely fell off. He went 10 races without a win. But he still picked up those points that he needed. He was still consistent. He still took that car to new levels, which realistically no one else in that Red Bull could probably do. And then I'd probably put 2023 as third, and then 2022 as fourth.
You see, I'd have 23 second, because I just think that consistency and that standard throughout the whole season is unbelievable. But I do think this season is very close, because like you say, going 10 wins, 10 races without a win, but to still be there or thereabouts to pick up enough points to tie you over. I think if Lando had been a better competitor this season, I would, and Max won, I would have put this season second.
Yeah, no, I
think that's the only thing for me is like, but I think it's also unfair to look at a competitor in a world championship, because ultimately it was all about what Max did anyway. And Max did what Max had to do, and he's going to go on and win the world championship, whether it's at Vegas or Abu Dhabi.
That's why this year, I think this is the first year since 21 that Max has probably been had a challenge and had a bit of pressure.
And that's all I will say is you have seen a few of his unlikable tendencies creep into his racing.
Yeah, no. Do let us know, when you're ranking Max Verstappen's world titles, include this one as well, where would you put them from 1 to 4? Yeah. Right, let's talk about a bit of Las Vegas. It is going to be an early start this weekend, boys.
Yeah, it's a rough one. 2:30 Friday morning.
FP1 Friday morning is 2:30 till 3:30. FP2 is 6 till 7 on Friday. FP3 on Saturday is 2:30 till 3:30. Qualifying is 6 till 7 a.m.
Yeah,
it's... And then the race is 6 a.m.
Yeah, which is... I'm out Saturday night. I mean, you know what that means. I'm probably just going to have to take it easy and I'll just wake up early.
It's going to be a lot of early starts. So, set your alarms.
The 2:30 ones are just not getting watched.
No.
I'll watch them back, but...
Qualifying, yes, I'll be up for. Race, obviously, I'll be up for. But even that, the race, that means the programme will start at 4:30.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's not getting watched. Like, I'll wake up at 5 to 6.
Yeah. And then your top three for this weekend's Las Vegas Grand Prix?
Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, and Max Verstappen.
Ooh, I'm going to go... Oscar Piastri, Charles Leclerc.
There's just no... There's no thought behind that.
Yeah, there is. There is a thought process.
There's zero logic.
There is. Just wait to see you this weekend. Mate, you said this year Lewis Hamilton was going to win races.
Yeah, at least I'm a fan, so I can be deluded.
Well, Oscar Piastri P1, Charles Leclerc P2, Lando Norris P3.
You don't think Max is going to be on the podium?
P4.
That's not on the podium.
No, I know. But I think P4.
Unbelievable.
I'm looking forward to this weekend. I really am looking forward to it.
Yeah, like I said at the start, right, it set us up very nicely last year for kind of future races, because Las Vegas got so much shit for kind of everything, being like the epitome of like capitalism and purely going somewhere for money, and the track on paper looks dreadful, right? It really does, but it did provide last year. We can't deny that. So I think if anyone's not looking forward to this year, I couldn't really understand why, because it really did provide last year. And I think that little like car that they took after when
it's to the bridge, right?
Yeah, everything about the show was actually pretty good. I'm just not looking forward to waking up so early.
No, and that is the downfall, isn't it? Waking up so early for it. But I think that is it. Have we missed anything?
I don't think so.
Oh, we have missed something. The track. The little quiz. Sorry. Right. Little quiz. Play at home if you like. When was the first Las Vegas Grand Prix held?
I think it might have been 2023.
Well done. Number of laps.
That I actually have no idea. 58.
50.
I knew it was a big track.
In kilometres, the circuit length.
Yeah, it's a big one. 2.8. Nah, that's a lie.
2.8 kilometres.
Driving at like what? Average of like 180 kilometres away. That's a really bad guess. Probably my worst one ever.
Oh, I don't know, you've had some bad ones.
I'm going to say 6.7.
6.2. Oof. Close. A lap record held by who? Let's just say he's going to win the Grand Prix this weekend.
Piastri?
Yep.
What the lap is? 1:36.4.
It is, in fact, a 1:35.4.
Fuck, that was close. I was 1 second out.
You were close. One thing I'm really looking forward to seeing this weekend is the sphere. You know, they do loads of like different things on there. Yeah. Quite looking forward to it. But the race is back this weekend. We have three races left. I'm getting a bit sad that actually we only have three races left.
Yeah, but I'm also now really excited about Lewis getting that Ferrari next season.
But obviously, it's such a long gap, isn't it? December, by the time you get over Christmas, then it starts again in March. You have pre-season testing. Oh,
you know what we didn't speak about, which we can speak about very quickly? That fucking F1 75 live event.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Firstly, I don't know if anyone actually tried to get tickets. Yeah, it was impossible. Immediately, they were being resold for like £400. No, thank you. Thirdly, it apparently, like 95% of the tickets were actually given to like sponsors and influencers. Yeah, I'm offended I didn't get one. But that's also unacceptable. It should be just first come, first serve fans. I know you've got to reserve some for sponsors, but the reported amount is incredible. And lastly, apparently the cars aren't even going to be there.
What? I thought the cars were going to be there, but they're not going to be the proper livery as such.
I don't know. I just saw a tweet that would, like, it was a big tweet. It wasn't just like someone just like...
Did you see Max Verstappen's comment about it?
Like, hopefully he's ill that day or something, yeah.
What's your thoughts on it? Because I
actually quite like it.
I like the idea of it, but I also like the fact that actually you have to, you know, each day is something different. It's like open up an advent calendar that each day there's going to be a different livery like we normally have.
Yeah, because you have the different car launches.
Yeah. So,
but are they not still going to take place?
I still think they'll take place, but majority of it is going to be taking place on this actual day.
Yeah, but it can't be. That's like, isn't it like, oh, and this is why the cars aren't going to be there apparently. Because it's 7 days before testing.
Yeah.
So they've got to get the cars shipped out.
To Bahrain.
Yeah. So, I don't know. If you got tickets, well done. But also, how did you manage that? I was on there at 10 on the dot.
Mm.
I didn't get through until 11:30, I think.
And they were gone.
Yeah, obviously they were gone. I don't know why they kept me in the queue for so long. They should have just said, oh, sorry, they've sold out.
Somebody was talking to me yesterday about that Sidemen match, saying that they were in a queue for ages. They were in a queue for 2 hours, but they'd obviously been sold out like an hour before, but they didn't realise.
Oh, yeah, they sold out quick.
Yeah. But no, I think it'd be an interesting day. Obviously, it is going to be live streamed, so it's good from that point of view.
I would love to go. If you're a brand and you want to send us, then do it.
But if not, I'm sure we might do a little live stream that day. Might arrange something for that day.
Yeah, or I did say wait until like Christmas time via GoGo when people are desperate for a bit of cash and we'll
sell them. So that is it. Hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. Do check us out on all social media. We are posting daily and we're really active on TikTok at the moment and Instagram. So thank you for all your support on that. Do let us know who's going to be winning this weekend's race. And we'll be back next week. Looking back,
there's one final thing that I forgot to mention.
Yep.
And this is a very quick one.
If it's my beard, I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it either. This is officially our 100th episode of Racecast. Yeah. This is episode 100.
Wow.
Last week was episode 99. I know because I upload it on Audio Boom.
Yeah.
This is episode 100.
Well done, mate. Who would have thought we lasted 100 episodes?
I know, especially you having to endure the 2023 season.
Yeah, and I think when we started this, we started doing a bit of the podcast in 2021, not consistently. We did the odd few, which at the time was called the R-Line podcast.
Well, that was yours. Yeah. I just came on.
Yeah, and then we did Racecast, and we literally went into the season where it was just Max Verstappen dominance.
Yeah.
It continued Max Verstappen dominance. We started this year, and I mean, I've never seen Luke so depressed at the start of a podcast. He was like, we know what the season's going
to
be like.
Do you know what? It was tough turning up every week to essentially talk about nothing.
Mm.
Whereas now, I really feel like we've turned a page.
And now it's exciting. What's, obviously, with regards to TikTok, which you're watching this clip now, we get highlights of some of our favourite clips. We did some quite funny ones at the beginning. Latifi, we spoke about Latifi.
Yeah.
If he was putting that Red Bull car, he still wouldn't win a race.
No.
The one I did the other day, the joke, still one of my favourites.
What joke? Jack.
Yeah. But no, 100 episodes, so thank you very much for everyone's support. It is appreciated.
If you've listened to all 100 as well, well done.
You're a G.
Yeah.
But yeah, do check us out on all social media. It is greatly appreciated. Instagram, Twitter. We potentially in the new year will be coming back to YouTube. We'll wait and see for that. But yeah, we'll be back next week for a brand new episode. Have a good week and take care. Bye-bye.